Great. So today we're looking at the subject of servanthood. And today we've got James, Pastor James, and we have Pastor Josh. Three pastors on the chairs who probably know very little, but we're going to do our best to try and help you with this subject.
Hopefully the jokes won't be too bad.
No jokes today.
I'll try.
No. Okay, so great. So we're in number 7 of our discipleship. That means we're over halfway now. Hooray, some people say. We're getting there. So we've got our first one, which is our triangle over here, which is our relationship. We've got the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our upward relationship with Him, our inward relationship with our church family, and our outward relationship with those that don't yet know Jesus. We've got our heart, which is our change of heart. God gives us a change of heart. We repent, we go in a different direction, and we live in a different way. We've got the fruit, which represents the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful gift that God the Father and God the Son have given us to live our life, to follow Jesus, and to be able to be like Jesus, and to live like Him, and to empower us to do that. We've got the gospel of Nike, which is just do it, which is obedience. We've got developing healthy habits, which is reading our Bible and praying. And we've discovered forgiveness, or we discussed forgiveness. And we've got onion peeling back the layers. Today, we have another item to help us. Joshua, would you like to introduce the item that we have today?
Yeah, so our next item is a towel. And this item reminds me of the story of Jesus when he washed his disciples' feet. They were reclining at the table, and it would usually be the job of a servant to wash people's feet. And you might be thinking today, that is a very unusual thing to do, to wash people's feet. It was more common in Jesus's time. But some of you may be thinking, why on earth would I want to wash someone else's feet? And you might also be thinking, why would I want anybody to wash my feet? It was even worse in Jesus's time, because it was a hot country. The roads were dusty. People wore sandals. They didn't have showers probably every day. Well, they didn't probably have showers. They probably had baths when they could, and when they could afford it. And so people's feet were very dirty. It was not a nice job to clean people's feet. But Jesus decided to clean the feet of his disciples, and his disciples said, no, you're our master, we should be cleaning your feet. But he said, no, I'm gonna clean your feet. And Jesus showed the example. We said earlier that Jesus never asks us to do something that he's not willing to do himself, and so he cleans the disciples' feet. And then the other thing that he also does there, so he doesn't just clean the disciples' feet, he's also showing the other disciples, and he's passing it on to them, showing this is how you serve people. You have to be less than the person that you are serving. So you need to become like the servant. So we're passing the towel around to the church today, and hoping that people take on that baton. And we need to be better at serving as leaders, and we need to be as a church better at serving others as well. So
thank you.
Here's the towel.
Great, thank you. So Jesus left heaven, he came down to earth in order to serve humanity, and his life, his death, is the supreme example of servanthood, fulfilling God's will, God the Father's will. And I said in our talk that greatness by the world standard is measured in how many people serve you, how many people work for you, how many things you have. But Jesus decides to redefine the meaning of greatness. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become the least. Whoever is the greatest must become the least. He reverses this world's viewpoint. So if we truly want to be great, if we truly want to be great and like Jesus, then we need to take on the role of servanthood. That's what Jesus calls us to do today, to serve just as he did. And we do it without reward. We don't serve because we think, well, if we serve, God's going to give us a big reward. He will in heaven. But we do it because Jesus asks us to, without reward. And that's hard sometimes, because when we work hard, we want to work hard in our job. And we hope that they will reward us. But when we're serving Jesus, we do it of a heart of, we just want to do it. We just want to love others. We just want to serve others. So Jesus reinforces and reinforced, I think, Joshua, the fact that he calls us to be servants. Luke 22, 27 says, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table?" And Jesus says, "But I am among you as one whom serves." And I love the way Jesus served his disciples, even though at times they weren't very lovely, they weren't very nice to each other, they weren't very kind, but Jesus continues to serve them. James, I had an email. Would you just like to read the email and then maybe make some comments on it? Thank you for the lady that sent the email.
Yeah, this is the email that Robin got, and I'm just going to read it out to you as a thought about servanthood. And she says this, she says, "One of the most important lessons of being a servant for me was God show me what really motivated me to serve others. I realized that a lot of what I did came from my own need to affirmation or acceptance for others. Now I know that first and foremost, it should come from knowing how much I am loved by God and wanting to be obedient to his call for us to love others. It seems to me that obedience and sacrifice are the heart of the true servant along with faithfulness. These are hard things to learn when, as a human beings, we are fearful or wanting to go our own way, essentially trying to fulfill our own needs. When I can die to self, overcome my own fears and needs, and truly put God and others first, then I am living in service to God. Then I'm living in his will. This is something I'm still working on, aren't we all?" I added that bit myself. "My own nature tries to get in every opportunity. I know I need to check my motivation and go back to God and where I'm at. God actually told me that it's okay to be Martha, busy with practical chores. He reminded me that he made me with those skills to use. Often I heard preaching on Mary and Martha and came away feeling guilty, like I'm not always spiritual and sitting at the feet of Jesus enough. Actually, what Jesus was doing was challenging Martha's attitude and motivations to serve. I've been in that place where I felt put upon and angry, like I deserve to be recognized and helped. And in the end, it's about being devoted and loving to God and to each other." I agree, it is all about hearts. And it's about why we do things. What agenda do we have? What is our spirit? From the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes we can use it as a compensation that I can keep busy and I'm doing all these things, but we also need that time where we're at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And because at the feet of Jesus, you know what I mean? I've been through probably one of the hardest years of my life. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And I know that sometimes we can allow busyness and situations to take over.
That's true.
We can fill our time with things because it stops us thinking of where we're really at.
Yeah.
And I knew that I could be overcome by the situation I was in, and the only way that I could survive was to get to the feet of Jesus. And what I love about Mary is when she's at the feet of Jesus and people are criticizing her and people are trying to justify her actions in the way that they perceive the religious people. And Jesus didn't condemn her. And it's actually the feet of Jesus that Jesus defends her. And it's a safe place, and because Jesus saw the heart of brokenness. And when we get a heart that comes after Jesus, restoration can come. And the problem with Martha was that she just compensated and she tried to cover up the heart. She was hurt by situations. You could tell that by just the way she acted. And she thought that she was busy, that maybe that she can justify herself. But she said to him, "Look, this Jesus, I can see the heart. I can see the motives." Not, I don't know whether I'm going to be a pastor of another church or not. I don't know. I didn't even want to preach again. But what I did know is that if I stand at the feet of Jesus, I'm going to get restored.
Yeah.
And he said, if I humble myself, submit myself, to submit myself, I've got a choice here.
Yeah, it's a bad choice.
I've got a choice to come down to the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm broken. I'm hurting. But Lord, you're the one that's not let me down.
Yeah.
And it's through that I want to serve. And that's why I even spoke to Robin to see if I can help out here at the church this time.
Yeah.
Because it's not about what I get out of it. But what I get is keeping my focus on Jesus, and everything else falls into place.
So true.
And I don't care if I preach again. I don't care if I lead a church again. But what I do care is keeping that right heart before God.
Yeah, that's so important.
And so for me, that's what it is. It is about our motivation. But don't substitute busyness to cover up the attitude of our hearts.
No. That's true. And James, you have blessed us and you have served us and you're serving us now. And you've been a great friend to me, but you've also been a great servant for God in the way you're helping us at this time. And a godsend to us too. So thank you. But James, we know the journey's been so painful. People don't know what you've gone through. Perhaps wouldn't have an idea, but the fact is you're serving, you're showing. But I want to say that actually for me, being spiritual is being practical.
Yeah.
Actually, serving other people is a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's not just sitting at the feet of Jesus, which we need. We need that time of prayer and reading that Bible and falling in love with Jesus. We need all of those, but we can't just sit at the feet of Jesus. We'll be no earthly use to anybody if all we do is sit at the feet of Jesus and read our Bible and pray. As good as that is, spiritually, we need to get out, get the towel, and find broken people and help broken people. We don't have to look very far. We open our door, look over the road, and we will find them. So, thank you, James. Josh, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting, the culture and the society that we're in at the moment. We're in a period of, you know, we've been through lockdown multiple times, and there's this focus at the moment where we're in our homes by ourselves, and we're focused on ourselves. Pre-COVID, we're in this society. It's a very consumeristic society. We get satisfaction out of the things we try and buy or we try and produce, and it's all about what we do as individuals. But there is something that happens when we shift our focus from ourselves, so from this individualism, from this focus from ourselves, and we change our focus to on God. The greatest commandment, isn't it, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then it says to love your neighbour as yourself. And it's that sitting at the feet of Jesus, like you were saying, James, gives us that focus on God, and then we learn from God. It shifts that focus from us, and then we start focusing on other people, and we want to serve people and we want to love people. But then something can sometimes come along, like COVID, difficult things in life, difficult challenges in life, and sometimes we look at ourselves and we feel sorry for ourselves, or we think we deserve better. I don't know if you've ever ordered a product about Amazon and it's not come right, and you're like, I deserve a refund, I deserve everything back, I deserve you to also give me the item and give it me free on top of that. And there's this kind of attitude that we deserve stuff, but actually life's tough, but we need to focus on other people despite our own challenges, and there's something that builds up inside of us out of that. Yeah. So,
and I think at the end of the day as well, when we do submit ourselves to God and we come under the hand of it, and he gives you that one thing.
Yeah.
And that one thing I do is what the scripture says. And we need to find out what the one thing that we can serve God with.
Yeah.
And it's more important to do that one thing right than to do 100 things mediocre.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people that if you're not sure where your one thing is, how you can serve, come to Jesus, come to his feet, find that one thing, and then take a step of faith.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of families as well that are busy, and people are trying to hold their homes together. They're sorting homeschooling and other things. So it's a big ask to say, we want you to serve other people as well. But sometimes it's just a little thing. Sometimes it's sending somebody a message. So I guess my challenge for people is, Just ask God in your heart. We're not measuring other people about what they do to other people and greatness, but what's the one thing, what's the little thing that you can do?
For me, like, for example, when I was going through COVID, the one thing that one lady did, she was an elderly lady in the church, a Caribbean lady, she's a brilliant lady. She's the sort of person that you phone at any time, and if you feel discouraged, you feel encouraged by the end of it.
Yeah.
And she used to send me little recordings of a couple of lines on my WhatsApp, and I just used to listen to those, and it just used to build me up. Mm. And she was just encouraging me and build me up. That one thing made all the difference at that time.
Yeah, words can really change someone's life just by saying hi, are you okay, just by talking. So it's good. Thanks, guys, this is great, this is really good. Some great comments from people, James, encouraging you to keep going. So it's good. We sent a Survey Monkey out again, which is something we do every week. We're not going to do it every week. I probably aren't going to do that this week because I've already asked you to respond by letting me know in this COVID situation what you're learning and how things are. But some of the responses that came back, is there anything in particular the Holy Spirit is challenging or talking to you about with regard to servanthood? We have some responses back, and we'll just look at a few of those. The first one that came back was humility, being humble, being willing to serve, I believe, in this response. If we go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8, it's a lovely scripture, but it's a scripture that really challenges us. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above ourselves. Not looking to our own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. If we look at the humility of Jesus, this is the Son of God. This is the one that flung stars into space. This is the one that spoke and things coming to being. He is God. And yet he chooses to say, I'm not just going to tell people what they've got to do. I'm going to take on the mantle of a man. I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to take on the form of man, and I'm going to show people what it means to be a follower of me. And I think for me, one of the greatest things is when I think, you know, I should deserve better, and we all think that, or we think that things should be different. We look at Jesus and go, wow, Jesus, if you would come from heaven and humble yourself and take on the form of a man, and if you can do that for me, then surely I can be humble and be a bondservant to you. I love that word bondservant. Now, not everybody agrees in the commentaries that I've read about this word bondservant, but I actually believe it is. It basically means that we no longer have any of our own rights. Mm-hmm. You know, we've laid them down. We've said when we become a Christian, actually, I'm dying to myself and now I'm going to be like Jesus. And I think for me, when I think about Jesus asking us to do that, that now, I'm no longer, in effect, I don't have any rights. You know, I don't have rights. I've laid them down. How does that feel to you when you think about those scriptures, guys? What about you, Josh?
I think one of the most humbling experiences that I had was when you took me to Kenya.
Yeah.
And I was a teenager, I was about 13, 14. If you've never been on mission trip, I would 100% persuade you to go on mission trip somewhere at some point. I did not realize till that point in my life how good I had things. I had food on the table all the time. I had friends around me. I had family that loved me. I had nothing to complain about in my life. The most humbling thing was to see people that were so poor, they didn't know when their meal was going to come the next day. You know, they lived in houses that were made of mud and metal roof, tin roofs. And that was if they were lucky. Absolutely humbling experiences. I've been at lectures this week and reading about stories of young people in this country who are devastatingly poor. They've got horrific lives. They're being bullied at school. I'm not just talking minor bullying. I'm talking major bullying. There's gangs. There is so much going on, and there is such a humbling experience when you take yourself from the place where you are, and you see other people. It's not a burden, like as you're saying, to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It's not a burden to serve other people. When you see that need, that genuine need for people, you cannot help but want to serve them or do something. Something breaks in your heart. We have Netflix subscriptions, Disney Plus subscriptions. Me and Mark love our Disney. We love binge watching The Mandalorian. But that money that we have, there are some people that just don't have that money. Jesus really humbled himself when he came down from heaven, didn't he? I feel like I am humbled so much, but I've got so much more humbling to need to do. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to add, James?
Yeah, I think that sometimes people get the wrong end of humility, and they think that humility is hiding at the back of the church, not doing anything, trying to not be noticed. And humility is not hiding about and taking a back seat. Humility is knowing your place before God.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I look at the examples of Jesus and I see the way he lived his life, he knew his place before the Father. And out of that place of humility, out of that place of relationship, everything else flows. And I think it's important that if he's challenging us, if we're saying, no, I'm not doing that. I remember doing activities. I was mentored by a guy called Tony Stone, and I used to have to drive him around, carry his Bible around with him and things like that. And sometimes he got a bit frustrating, but God was developing my heart to keep myself humble. I started ministry by working with an evangelist called Don Double, and I was on his maintenance team banging stakes. I was the best stake banger in person in that team. They used to get me in for everything. But I also used to go in on the overhead projectors. Remember those overhead projectors? You used to put little words. I had a bit of fun sometimes. Just sort of mood it sometimes. People thought it was a swaying of the Holy Spirit, but at the same time. But humility is learning to say, look, whatever needs to be done is what you do.
And
I don't care whether it gets me popularity, I don't care whether it gets me prominence, because that's doing it for the wrong motives. We do it because we say, Lord, if it needs doing. There's a secular song that I'll listen to sometimes, and basically in those words it says, when I can't do what I do what I can.
Yeah.
And we actually got to say, Lord, what can I do at this moment in time? If it needs doing, do it.
Yeah. I just had a memory then, Josh, of you and Ben on the overhead. Do you remember when you used to use the overhead?
Yeah.
And you used to turn the words upside down, didn't you?
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. I just wasn't paying attention.
No, it wasn't intentional. It was intentional. I just had those memories of that.
Teaching people discernment.
I used to get a tap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
From the person behind me being like, make sure you sort that out.
But what I remember, both you and Ben, is loving just to do it. You wanted to do it, and that's great. You've got a great heart, both of you guys. Continue with those comments. To continue to be a servant every day, that is so true. To continue to be a servant, to choose to do it. We've talked about choice. Don't look at what others are doing. It's so important that we do not compare ourselves with other people. If we're not doing what they're doing, then what we're not doing or what we're doing isn't the same importance. It's exactly the same importance, because if we're doing what God asks us to do and we're in the centre of his will, that's exactly what God's called us to do, then it's as important as what anybody else is doing. Cleaning the toilets in church, if you're doing that in serving, is important, as much as important, if not more important, than me sitting in this chair today. This is being obedient to what God's asked you to do, and you're doing it. And at the end of the day, when we stand in front of Jesus, he's going to say, well done, a good and faithful servant. You may not be a Billy Graham that preaches to millions and thousands get saved. You may do the most humble thing to help somebody. And when you get to heaven, God's going to give you a great reward, because he is the great rewarder for that. And I joke sometimes. I do have a joke, and I'll say it now. But James and I were in the car together, and James crashed the car, and we both got to heaven. And when we got to heaven...
Does that mean I'm in heaven as well?
James was driving, and we got to heaven, and Peter says, yeah, we're expecting you both in. And he said, come on, I'll show you to your places. He takes James to this 42-bedroom mansion, gold, beautiful everywhere, massive mansion. James goes, wow, yeah, so that's amazing. He said, how come this is mine? He says, no, you've been a good, faithful servant. So he then takes me to my 15-bedroom mansion, and I said, well, how come James got a 42-bedroom mansion, I got a 15-bedroom mansion? And Peter said, well, it's like this. When you were talking on discipleship, Pastor Owen, and you were discussing these subjects, a lot of the people fell asleep. But when James was driving, everybody prayed.
Sorry. I think you're driving as well.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, so no.
I knew we'd have jokes somewhere, didn't I? I knew it was coming. I feel it.
It is important to take part and engage. You don't have to be involved in big things or give more than you can. You just have to take part. And that is so important. Whatever God's asked you to do, just do it. You know, if we study God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this relationship triangle here, if we study that, I believe that the Bible teaches us, when we look at God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that God places high value on relationships. God created us to be in relationship with him and with others. And I think a good relationship that we have is being... using good resources, or using the resources that we have in the best way for the well-being of other people. So what do we have in our hand? Like the little boy that brought the loaves and fishes. It helped and blessed so many people. He could have said, well, it's my dinner. I've walked a long way. This is all I've got. It's not much. But that little he had was for the well-being of other people. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think the relationship between God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, teaches us the importance of concern for each other. And I believe the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, were concerned about each other. They serve each other, serve their ministries. And, for us, we should be concerned about the well-being. I'm concerned about James's future. I'm concerned about Josh's future. I'm concerned about their well-being. And I'm sure that they are the same for me. So I think what the even though we don't have the word Trinity in the Bible, but we talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it helps us to be other-centred, others-centred, centering our lives on other people. And that's really important. And self-centeredness, it's all about me, Jesus, not about you, is the very opposite the way God created things. God created things in order. There's a special order. He created us to enjoy him first, sitting at his feet, sitting at the feet of Jesus, to enjoy him. There's a created order. But then there's part of that, from that relationship, as you said earlier, Josh, Jesus hands the towel. He gives us the towel and says, now you do the same, be likewise. Yep. So I think part of this discussion is paying it forward. Doing what God has done for you, doing what God has done for me, and paying that forward to somebody else. Does anybody want to add anything to that? Okay. So, we've had some comments back on that first question. The second question is, if you're being challenged in this area of your life, i.e. servanthood, then what are you planning to do about it? What are you planning to do about it? So here's some of the responses. Look for opportunities to serve on a daily basis. And we're encouraging you. Ask God to show you and give you the opportunity. Who knows what opportunities you have? So sometimes when we're going for a walk, I'll make eye contact with somebody that's coming towards me, and I'll smile, and I'll ask a question, how are you doing? Sometimes people go, I'm okay, and walk past. Sometimes people stop, and they're happy that I've stopped and asked them the question. And they'll give me an answer. And in this day and age with COVID now, a lot of people have been a lot more truthful, I think. Well, actually, I'm struggling. This is the first day I've been out since I've been poorly. And we have great opportunities just to help. And I know people in our church have been helping people with various opportunities. So just look for an opportunity. Give God praise in it, you know. I love that. Give God all the praise. Think of more opportunities to take part or listen out for more opportunities to be involved with. Yep, that's good. Another point, I must grow in servanthood and not become stagnant. That's important, you know, we can, in our life, we've got to keep moving forward with God. We can't stay where we are. We've got to keep moving forward. I love that statement. The more we become like Jesus, the more his glory, rather than our reputation, influences how we serve others. So what influences us? Bringing glory to God. And we got an opportunity every day to bring glory to God. As disciples, it's important that Jesus becomes greater in our lives and we become less. And there's this lovely verse. When I say lovely, it's a challenging verse, but it's a really encouraging verse for us today. John 3:30. He must become greater and I must become less. And that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Him becoming greater, me becoming less. James, is there anything you want to add?
No, I agree. At the end of the day, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And I want to just basically, we're going to keep asking ourselves, what is the reason why we do things?
Yeah.
Is it to build my kingdom up? Is it to make me look good? You mean, a lot of people are building their own kingdoms up, and we're seeing a lot of people fall from grace, even in the church, because God won't share his glory with anybody. We need to come before God and say, look, Lord, what is my motivation? What is my heart for this? And as we submit ourselves into the hand of God, a lot of things have been spoken in this nation and around the world about bowing the knee. Mm. And just imagine if the church really bowed the knee to Jesus. That it wasn't about a denomination. It wasn't about a popularity contest. It's submitting ourselves, bowing the knee before the mighty hand of God. And he'll be exalted. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw people to myself. And actually, when we serve God and we come before God, we start to shine the love of Jesus into those dark places. And people may be going through shadows. But remember, if there's a shadow, there must be a light somewhere.
Yeah.
And we are that light. Jesus shining through us. And so when we learn to serve, when we learn to submit, I believe we'll see the glory of God come in a way that we can't even imagine. The miracles that God's just waiting. And I believe COVID is one of those situations that God will be using. A lot of people were saying, look, 2020 vision, we're going to see clearly, we're going to do all these things. You know what? There's only one person that sees clearly, and that's Jesus Christ. And when we follow what he wants to do in his agenda, then we get satisfied. And for me, when I serve God, I'm more satisfied than anything in the world. If I try to do anything else for my own agendas, it's never enough. You mean, I know people, I remember one person in one church, and he was a multimillionaire. And he had millions of pounds in the bank, but he never spent a penny of it because he was so afraid of being poor. And he held on, and it held him back. And Jesus said, look, if you want to give everything to me, then you'll see things that you can't even imagine. And for me, I've witnessed, I've seen God provide in amazing ways. When I just put him first, when I serve, when I say, Lord, I bow the knee to you, everything else falls into place. And so if you're struggling to know where to serve, who to serve, bow the knee to Jesus right now and ask him, is my heart, my motives right? And out of that, ministry doesn't bring relationship. Relationship brings forth a ministry. It brings our walk. So let's serve him.
Yeah, so I think, just practical advice for me, one of the most frustrating things as a leader in church is that we can see that there's a massive need out there. It says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And churches are always having to shave off where they can kind of use their resources in different places and things like that. And even as leaders, I find like we need to be better at delegating stuff and giving people stuff to do. But there is so much stuff to do, we don't have the time to even give all that out to people. And so my encouragement to people is just to be proactive and just to try it, just to go out there and just do something. And if it doesn't go well, that's fine. That's not a problem. And if you don't know where to start, bring someone along with you. It may be that there's two of you that don't know what you're doing, but that's great because you learn together. So I think that's just my practical advice to people, just to go out and do something and bring people along with you. You know, we are a church. We're a church of, I think we've probably got 200 people on the books, probably more with some of the people we reach out to. And so imagine the impact we could have on our community if we start bringing each other together and just each doing one thing. Christmas, we did Change the World for One, didn't we? What is just that one thing? It doesn't have to be massive. It could be small. It could be shared amongst all of us. So just on a practical note, you know, where can we serve? It's great.
Thank you, Josh. Do you want to go and take yourself to the drums?
Yeah, I'll go serve over there.
Okay. All right. Great.
Keep the right beat.
Yeah, James is going to pray for us now. I'd like us to place our hand upon our heart and just invite the Holy Spirit now. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we've talked a lot, but we want to hear your voice above every other voice.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
So as we pray, Lord, as we place our hand upon our heart, we ask you to speak. Speak loud, clear. Help us. Give us boldness. Fresh oil to serve. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, there's times that there's so much we don't know where to start.
Jesus.
But we start by listening to your voice right now.
Jesus.
And we ask you to speak clearly. Like you did to Abraham, to go to a way that he'd never been before. But you showed him the first step. And servanthood starts when we're saying, Lord, I'm willing. As Isaiah said, here I am. Use me. So many times we can look at other people to do the jobs and say, look, they'll do it. But Father, when we see the need, it means that you're talking to us to say, look, you can do it. And so, Lord, I pray that anything that will hold us back, Lord, you just break that right now. Any feeling of insecurities, anything that will stop us being able to connect and say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can make a way because you are the way maker. And Lord, I just pray for a church that knows and hears your voice, that listens to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that in that quiet place when we come before you in the throne room of grace, where you download into our spirit, that we will not be just hearers only, but doers as well. That Lord, when you ask us to share what you've asked us to share, we are faithful. Because Lord, this nation right now is so open for truth. So open to change. so open for the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, I pray right now, let your church arise. Let the servanthood of a church not be done by 10 or 20%, but 100% of the church saying, look, we bow the knee right now to the Lord and Savior of our faith. We bow the knee to Jesus Christ and say, whatever it takes, Lord, we are willing. And Lord Jesus, we are able to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. So, Lord, I just pray for an anointing to come upon your people right now. That you prepare us for works of service. That you are prepared beforehand for us today. That every need will be provided. That we are faithful to your call. Help us, Lord Jesus. Die to ourselves so that we may become alive in you. That everything that we do will be from the right motive and the right agenda. It's not about us. It's about you, Jesus. Let our lives give glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.